Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Dual Doppler 5000 radar showing some lingering showers and drizzle in parts of our viewing area. I'll show you who has the best chance of seeing it through the afternoon and evening.
Also this noon, we have breaking news about the murder of a five-year-old girl in Durham. What a newly released autopsy now reveals.
Plus, what Five on Your Side has now learned about a Wells Fargo direct deposit glitch. We start today with that breaking news on a case we have been tracking for weeks, the shooting death of five-year-old Chloe Fennell. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Let's get right to Michelle McConaughey in the WRAL Live Center with this new information. Michelle.
Yeah, this afternoon we are learning a lot more about the death of five-year-old Chloe Fennell. We did get the autopsy. We're also learning about more efforts by her older cousin to try and save her. This afternoon we've also learned that she also helped save an 18-month-old. Monica Casey is in Durham. She has all of the information on the autopsy. She will have a special report coming up.
Michelle, thanks. An early morning house fire had crews from Fayetteville and Fort Liberty scrambling to get it under control. When firefighters arrived at this home on Summer Hill Road, they found flames shooting through the roof and smoke pouring from the structure. We're told the home had been vacant since its owner passed away several months ago. It took crews about 20 minutes to get the flames under control. No one was hurt. Authorities are now working to learn how the fire started.
We take a live look at stocks this noon. Right now, you can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 220 points. It didn't start out that way today, but the reaction from the markets right now, NASDAQ is up 126 points, and the S&P 500 also in positive territory, up 28 points this noon. And this is all coming as we hear from economists about this morning's employment numbers. WRAL's Brian Schrader is here now with a look at the data and what it could mean for the inflation fight. Brian.
Jeff, this morning we saw the jobs numbers for July, and the bottom line is clear. Those numbers show some cooling in the labor market, but they're still pretty strong. The country saw 187,000 jobs added in July. That's a little below the estimate of 200,000 jobs. UNC Kenan Institute economist Greg Brown says while it's below expectations, it's still a strong number. He says the economy's holding up for now, but a recession is coming.
We're not out of the woods yet in terms of a risk of recession over the next 12 months. Not worried about things right now. In fact, maybe the opposite situation right now, that the economy remains quite strong.
And that may be an economy that's a little too strong. Hourly earnings on average still are rising above expectations, and that could help fuel further problems with inflation. And while inflation definitely has come down, it is still higher than the Fed wants for the U.S. And Brown says it's likely that means more interest rate hikes, Jeff.
We wait and see. Again, Brian, thanks for the update. Scattered showers continue across our area this noon. We can expect to see them through the afternoon in parts of our viewing area. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at the locations and timeline.
Yeah, here's a live look at Dual Doppler 5000 radar. And you can see that most of the green is from the triangle area eastward. And that's the way things will likely go as we head through the afternoon. Not that we won't see an isolated shower pop up around Durham, Raleigh, or even as far west as Sanford, but the bulk of the activity is going to be in the east. One thing that's going on out there is we do have some heavy drizzle in places, and sometimes drizzle doesn't show up as well on the radar. The radar is designed to look at a raindrop, which is about the size of a pea or so, and drizzle is infinitely smaller than that, and so it just doesn't always show up as well on the radar. We'll zoom in around the triangle, and right now we're not seeing anything showing up around Durham, Raleigh, Wake Forest, Garner, but again, there has been some drizzle on and off this morning around the triangle area. We'll move to the east and northeast, and you can see between Youngsville and Bunn here in Franklin County, a few isolated showers. We had a shower that just moved through Lewisburg. And then the bulk of the rain that's actually still showing up is over around Roanoke Rapids and northward. We take a look at Lewisburg, and we have some pretty heavy either sprinkles or drizzle that's happening right now. And you can see that rain's coming down. The folks driving across the Tar River Bridge there have their windshield wipers going. So that rain's still falling out there in a lot of places. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see as we head through the afternoon, the potential for some scattered showers. showers south of Raleigh around Fayetteville and Goldsboro and Rocky Mount. Here's 5 p.m. Not a lot of rain around the Triangle for the evening commute, which is great news. And then as we get into the late afternoon and evening, the bulk of that starts to move on out of here. So we're looking at about a 40% chance of some showers, of maybe an isolated thunderstorm, but that looks unlikely with our very stable pattern. A lot of this will be south and east of the Triangle area and then tapering off nicely around 8 or 9 o'clock. Tomorrow, it turns hotter and the heat index begins to climb. I'll show you what it will look like for the weekend coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Today, Congressman Dan Bishop officially launched his campaign for North Carolina Attorney General. The Charlotte Republican joined Congress in 2019 by narrowly winning a special election. In Washington, Bishop was part of the Freedom Caucus that pushed back at the House leadership on the debt ceiling and budget deal. North Carolina has not elected a Republican Attorney General in over 125 years. Current Attorney General Josh Stein is running for the Democratic nomination for governor.
From the courtroom back to the campaign trail, former President Donald Trump is leveraging his legal issues to boost his lead among the field of Republicans running for president. Caroline Shively has that story from Washington.
So if you can't beat him, you persecute him or you prosecute him.
Donald Trump from a tarmac right outside D.C. on a rainy Thursday after pleading not guilty to four criminal counts accusing him of trying to overturn an election. It's not the first storm he's weathered, being indicted three times in 4 months.
This is election interference at its finest against the leading candidate right now for president, for either party.
Trump's sure to shift his legal troubles into political capital, returning to the campaign trail 24 hours post-arraignment. He's headlining an event for the Alabama GOP Friday and then headed to the early voting state of South Carolina. He took to Truth Social Thursday saying, need one more indictment to ensure my election. And that's likely with another indictment potentially coming out of Georgia looking at election interference. Democrats think that should disqualify Trump from returning to the White House.
No one is above the law, not even the President of the United States. It has nothing to do with the timing of the election.
But as the number of indictments grow, so does Mr. Trump's popularity. Those big fundraising halls are slowing down, though, and the legal fees emptying campaign coffers. Trump will also face trials for multiple cases in the thick of election season.
2024 will not be the year of being on the campaign trail, but it'll be the year of the Trump trial.
As Caroline Shively reporting, and special counsel Jack Smith wants a speedy trial for the case looking at the 2020 election and for a verdict to be reached before Election Day 2024.
The Georgia district attorney leading a possible fourth indictment of Trump says she's receiving threats. A grand jury in Atlanta is looking into whether the former president and his allies tried to overturn the 2020 election. DA Fani Willis says she's received threatening phone calls, texts and emails.
They don't always state what the reason is that they're calling, but I've probably been called the N-word more times in the last 2.5 years than most 100 people combined.
Willis and her team say they will announce their decision on the Trump probe before September 1st.
If you haven't gotten a Mega Millions ticket ahead of tonight's drawing, you still have some time. The jackpot is worth $1.25 billion, the fourth largest in history. WRL's Kelsey Coffey breaks down the odds of winning the whole thing.
Before the July Powerball jackpot winner was announced, we know that more than $52 million worth of Powerball tickets were sold here in North Carolina just for that one jackpot. So people are pretty serious about this. And most convenience stores that you'll see around town look like this. They only will say up until that $999 million mark. But everyone who's playing tonight has their eyes on this, the $1.25 billion prize. This is the sixth largest lottery jackpot in U.S. history. The lump sum for whoever wins is just over $625 million. Even though the odds of winning the big bucks are low, Kendrick Roundtree says it's still worth giving a shot.
Trying to be able to take care of my bills and gather my family and take care of them as well. If I was to ever hit, hey, that would be the first thing I'd do.
We caught up with a UNC statistics professor when the Powerball hit $1 billion last time, and he says that the odds for winning that if you play are about 1 in 292 million. That's the same odds that you would have for catching three foul balls if you were sitting in the stands at a Durham Bulls game. And the odds for the Mega Millions, that's even lower, only 1 in 302 million. So very difficult to pull it off, but you may have a chance. You can catch tonight's drawing right here on WRAL at 11 p.m. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Five on Your Side has learned a Wells Fargo direct deposit glitch has mostly been fixed. Frustrated customers started reaching out to the bank on social media last night, saying deposits were missing from their accounts. In a statement to Five on Your Side, Wells Fargo apologized and says the majority of issues have been resolved and the rest will be fixed soon. It's still not clear what caused the glitch. Next at noon, attorneys for the man accused of murdering four University of Idaho students reveal where he claims he was at the time of the murders.
Also, flooding in China from a dangerous typhoon. The dramatic video as a car plunges off a bridge.
And why some marine life is literally melting in the world's oceans right now.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
We're now learning the alibi defense for the man accused of killing four University of Idaho students. His attorneys will claim Brian Koberger was out for a long drive alone. NBC's Scotty Schwartz reports on what else new court documents reveal.
This morning, Brian Koberger's alleged alibi revealed for the first time. Koberger's attorneys say he was on a long drive alone the night four University of Idaho students were murdered in November. In a new four-page court filing, the defense says Mr. Koberger has long had a habit of going for drives alone. Often he would go for drives at night. He did so late on November 12th and into November 13th, 2022. But beyond that, the defense didn't reveal much more in the alibi, adding, Mr. Koberger is not claiming to be at a specific location at a specific time. There is not a specific witness to say precisely where Mr. Koberger was at each moment around the time the murders took place.
They wanted to comply with the rules, not be precluded from an alibi defense, but give the state as little as they possibly could so they don't have to reveal their hand.
However, the defense did say it's possible corroborating evidence of the alibi could be provided by witness testimony during the trial that's scheduled to begin in October. Koberger is charged with four counts of first-degree murder for the deaths of Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, Zana Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin. An Idaho judge entering a not guilty plea on Koberger's behalf. At the center of the case, a white Hyundai Elantra. A month before the murders, Koberger was pulled over by police, seen here driving alone in a white Hyundai Elantra.
He ran the red light.
Following the killings, investigators focusing on a similar car seen near the crime scene the morning of the murders.
If he was driving around in a white automobile, that's part alibi, part not an alibi, because the state is saying that he was driving around in a white automobile.
And due to a wide-ranging gag order, prosecutors, defense lawyers, and attorneys for the victims' families and witnesses are prohibited from saying anything publicly about this case.
National Basketball Players Association is condemning the Orlando Magic for donating $50,000 to a super PAC supporting Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' presidential run. The players say when a donation is made on behalf of an entire team, that's money earned through the labor of the employees. DeSantis has taken extreme stances on various issues, particularly those of inclusion. First, the Florida Department of Education said black people benefited from slavery. Now members are banning AP psychology in school districts if the content relates to sexual orientation and gender identity. The College Board rejected modifications to the AP courses to accommodate regulations that censor college-level standards for credit. The Education Department claims the class remains listed on the state's course code directory. AP Psychology was the fifth most popular advanced placement class in the state.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, another victim of the Gilgo Beach murders has been identified 27 years later. This was a press conference that was held earlier this morning. Previously dubbed Jane Doe 7, Karen Vergata was identified using DNA genetic genealogy. She went missing in February of 1996. 11 sets of human remains were found in or near Ocean Parkway on Long Island since 2010. And while most of the remains have been identified, some have been yet to be named. Rex Huerman was arrested last month and charged with 3 counts of murder and the deaths of 3 women. He has pleaded not guilty to all charges and is being held without bail.
Michelle, thanks. A pair of Tennessee House members won back their seats. Tennessee Representatives Justin Jones and Justin Pearson fully reclaimed their legislative seats in a special election Thursday. They were expelled for involvement in a gun control protest on the House floor. The protest came in the wake of a shooting in Nashville at a private Christian school where 3 children and 3 adults were killed.
Hopefully these numbers will show my colleagues in the legislature that what they did will not set a precedent that it can happen and it's acceptable, that we will challenge it, that the people will rise up and continue to hold them accountable.
Thursday's election came as Tennessee state lawmakers will hold a special session this month to address possibly changing the state's gun control laws.
Dash cam video captures a frightening moment here. A vehicle plunged off a collapsed bridge during severe weather. This happened in China following a typhoon. Flooding across northern China caused that bridge to collapse. The driver just didn't see what was in front of them there. It wasn't the only vehicle either that met that fate. We are told there were no casualties. Scientists say the hotter ocean temperatures off the Florida coast are having a devastating effect on coral life. Corals are dying from heat stress, bleaching, and melting off their skeletons. While some bleached corals turn white, others turn bright purple, which experts believe is an effort to resist UV radiation. The water temperature off the coast of southern Florida is up to 93 degrees Fahrenheit, about 5 degrees warmer than the same time last year. And I know they've had 100-degree temperatures in some of the water around the Keys there.
It's very concerning. Heat is not an issue today. We might not even hit 80 degrees, but we do have spotty showers out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner letting us know where the rain is now and what we could see in the afternoon.
That's typically the trade-off this time of year. If we're going to see temperatures that are, you know, even in the low 80s, it's because we have cloudy skies and sometimes some scattered showers. And we've had several days of cooler than normal temperatures. By tomorrow, we'll stay slightly cooler than normal, but then by Sunday and into next week, we're right back into the 90s. So again, here's a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar. We're looking at some showers that are showing up right here in Wilson. Those are starting to pull off to the north just a little bit. Of course, we were taking a look at what was happening down around Franklin County earlier. Still a few showers there. And then just a little bit of light rain around Roanoke Rapids and then in parts of Warren County lifting northward on up into Virginia. Not a whole lot showing up on radar, but we are looking at a good chance for some drizzle lingering across parts of the area, especially from Raleigh eastward. This is a look at Futurecast, and we'll roll through, and you can see as we get into 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, most of what develops is happening along the I-95 corridor. It wouldn't be out of the question to see a stray shower that pops up in the triangle, but here's 5 o'clock, and this has been consistent with our models during the day today. Each run that comes in really shows the potential of either south of the triangle or around Goldsboro, Rocky Mount, and that it really starts to taper off between 8 and 9 o'clock, so it's not going to last all night, and it will be isolated at best. By 11, 12 o'clock, we begin to see some clearing, but we're probably going to start off tomorrow morning with some cloud cover. We start take a look at Wilson. It's a little breezy there. You can see the whirligigs spinning, and there was a shower that moved through just recently, but you can see folks standing out there at the Whirligig Park without their raincoats or umbrellas, so it looks like that shower has moved out of there. We have a big gray cloud sitting right here over downtown Raleigh, but we don't have any rain that's falling out of it. You might see a little bit of drizzle, again, that the radar sometimes has trouble picking up on. 77 is our current temperature in the triangle with a dew point of 73. So there's lots and lots of moisture in the atmosphere. That's a high dew point for us. Temperatures will likely climb into the mid to upper 70s as we get through the afternoon. Still 68 in Roxboro, but 76 in Southern Pines, 77 in Goldsboro, 79 in Rocky Mount. We'll likely again be 79 in Raleigh, 77 Durham, 82 in Fayetteville with a few isolated showers. These cooler than normal temperatures signified in blue are with us today and tomorrow, but tomorrow it's only a touch below normal, and then we climb above normal as we get into early next week. So what does that look like? Again, 79 today, 89 Saturday, and 92 on Sunday. It's going to be good pool weather. It'll be hot, and we'll see partly cloudy skies. Right now, we're looking at tropical muggy meter. We do have a low pressure system that's sliding southward. That's going to dry us out for the weekend, but it's going to help to push more moisture in by Monday. We could see a heat index as high as 105, and that's typically the criteria for a heat advisory. So we'll have our eye on Monday. We get into next week, the 9th through the 13th. The 13th is next Sunday, 10 days from now. We still have the potential for above normal temperatures. The hottest day of the next 7 is likely to be Monday. We'll see a high of 94. We'll have that heat index potentially in the triple digits, and then temperatures settle a little closer to normal. We'll talk a bit more about our forecast into next week, and we'll check the beach and the mountain weather too coming up.
Sounds good. Elizabeth, thank you. Coming up on our evening news on WREL, a small Cumberland County town is celebrating the long-awaited grand opening of the town's new public safety building. Starting at 4, how the new building will help people who live in that area and the nod to the town's rich history.
Plus, it's Friday, so that means our weekly restaurant ratings report. 5 on your side's Keely Arthur explains where inspectors found expired food, dirty dishes, and moldy cutting boards. But still ahead this noon, Google has a new feature to help make sure your personal information stays off the internet. Ahead, how the new update works to keep you safe.
Plus, most people aren't thrilled with Mondays, but that doesn't translate into how much work you get done. Coming up, what a new study determined is the least productive day of the week and why.
A vintage iPod just sold for big bucks, and mortgage rates are climbing once again. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Mortgage rates are back on the climb towards 7%. A 30-year fixed loan is now averaging 6.90%, according to Freddie Mac. So that's up from 6.81% a week earlier. A year ago, rates were averaging 4.99%. Rates are climbing again after the Fed issued another interest rate increase and Fitch downgraded the U.S.'s credit rating. Hyundai and Kia are recalling nearly 92,000 vehicles due to the risk of a fire. An electronic controller in the oil pump can overheat and cause a fire. Some Hyundai Palisades from 2023 and 2024 are affected, as are some Tucson, Sonata, Elantra, and Kona 2023 models. The Kia recall covers some Seltos SUVs from 2023 and 2024 and some 2023 Soul and Sportage models. Owners are being told to park the vehicles outside and away from structures until the repairs are made. Americans are traveling overseas more this summer rather than staying closer to home. And that's pushing up airfares and hotel rates in Europe. The average for a round-trip international airfare is now $962, according to travel app Hopper. That's up 10% over last year. And hotel rates in Europe are up almost 14%, according to data from CoStar. But U.S. round-trip airfares are 10% cheaper than a year ago. They're averaging $249. An unopened first-generation iPod just sold for $29,000. The 5G gigabyte music player was initially purchased as a Christmas present in December of 2001, but it was tucked away in a closet with its original receipt and sat there for almost 20 years. A private collector just bought it through Raleigh, the collectibles investing platform. The sale comes just weeks after a factory-sealed first-generation sold for $190,000 at an auction. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Mondays may still be manic, but a recent study finds there is a day that is worse for productivity. Researchers say Fridays are when workers feel really tired and fried. Texas A&M School of Public Health examined computer use at a large company to find out which days are most and least productive. The study found less activity in typed words, mouse movements, and the most typos just before the weekend.
Jeff, we're not fried yet, right?
No, we're okay. Not Friday.
Google is showing users where their information is popping up on the internet. The company is updating its results about you dashboard. The new update will alert people when their personal information, such as their phone number, home address, or email, shows up on search results. Each user can review the information and decide if they want to submit a request to remove it.
Still ahead, we are revisiting Congressman Dan Bishop's state attorney general run.
Coming up, we'll go beyond the election run and look at what this could mean for the Republican ballot.
Also ahead, a change to the paid parental leave policy for North Carolina public school employees. We'll explain how it works. And here are your winning lottery numbers from the NC Education Lottery on your screen.
shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news, we're following this noon hour. A medical examiner's report offers new information about the moments leading up to the shooting death of 5-year-old Chloe Fennell.
WRAL Durham reporter Monica Casey has gone through the report. She joins us live now with what we've learned. Monica.
Well, the medical examiner's preliminary summary gives us a better idea of what happened in that house where the shooting occurred on North Guthrie Street. 15-year-old Destiny Sidbury was babysitting her 5-year-old cousin, Chloe Fennell, and another little boy on July 5th. Their family member, Brian Luster, has been charged in this shooting. The report says, according to law enforcement, the suspect called 911 saying he was overdosing. Dispatchers could hear him arguing with 15-year-old Destiny. The report says after that argument, the suspect went and got a 9mm handgun that belonged to Chloe's mother and opened fire on the three children. When police arrived on scene, they found the suspect choking Destiny. She told the officer she'd been shot. She had 7 gunshot wounds. The report says the suspect charged that officer and was wrestled to the ground before being taken into custody. It also says Destiny managed to push that third child, the 18-month-old, into a closet. His mother has told us he was uninjured. Chloe was shot 5 times and did not survive. Destiny has been recovering in the hospital for almost a month now. Renee?
Monica Casey, reporting live in Durham. Thanks.
North Carolina Congressman Dan Bishop made it official this morning. He is running for state attorney general. The Charlotte area conservative is running to fill the seat that was left vacant by Democratic Attorney General Josh Stein. Stein is running for governor.
After 125 years electing only Democrats, it's time for a change. So today, I'm launching my campaign for attorney general of North Carolina.
WRL state government reporter Paul Spey has been covering the AG race, joins us now. Paul, thanks for doing that. Bishop is in Congress. Why would he want to run for a state election?
Well, he's a lawyer, and he says he wants to be the state's top prosecutor. So that role has morphed a little in recent years. Republican AGs in other states see themselves as an important check on federal power. And having served in Washington and as a legislator in Raleigh, he understands both of those dynamics. And perhaps even more importantly, the AG's office has become a launching pad of sorts for the governor's mansion. So it's possible he sees an even bigger opportunity down the line.
Bishop has a pretty controversial background in our state.
That's right. He might be best known here as the lead writer of that bathroom bill that famously blew up for Republicans back in 2016. It was known as HB2 because many people saw it as discriminatory towards transgender people. Businesses backed out of the state. That was one reason that Governor Pat McCrory lost his reelection that year in 2016.
You know, Bishop, there's no Republican who has won the AG office in more than 100 years. So what are his chances?
Well, so far, only one other Republican has launched a campaign in this race. That's former legislator Tom Murray. But Bishop is certainly seen as the front runner. He has a national profile, and he has big financial backers who have helped high-profile conservatives throughout the country.
Does his announcement tell us anything else about the 2024 election season?
Well, the Republican ticket could end up being one of the most socially conservative in years, at least in North Carolina. You could see a general election with Donald Trump for president, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson for governor, and then Dan Bishop for attorney general. That's if each wins the primary in March.
All right. Well, we know you'll stay on top of this and keep following as the race unfolds. Thanks so much, Paul. And for more information on the attorney general race, all our state political coverage, you can visit nccapitol.com.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is feeling some heat after a comment this week. He was in New Hampshire talking about firing Washington insiders from federal jobs.
We're going to have all these deep state people, you know, we're going to start slitting throats on day one and be ready to go. You're going to see a huge, huge outcry because Washington wants to protect its own. But at the end of the day, this is a city that's failed this country.
Last month, DeSantis also used the phrase slit throats to describe changes he would make in staffing at the Pentagon. North Carolina public school employees will be able to take paid parental leave at the start of the school year. Now, in the past, employees had to take sick days or unpaid time off if they wanted parental leave. Under a new rule adopted by the State Board of Education, public school employees can take up to 2 months paid time off after having a baby. Educators were previously excluded from a 2019 state executive order that gave paid parental leave to only some state employees.
To be last to get access to paid parental leave does a disservice to the profession.
The North Carolina Association of Educators says this will help retain teachers, but increased pay is also needed to keep more good teachers on the job.
The CDC recommends all babies under 8 months of age get the new RSV vaccine. The FDA approved the one-time shot for newborns to help their immune system fight the respiratory virus. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices voted unanimously to recommend the dose of protection against the highly contagious virus. They also advised that infants between 8 to 19 months get a second dose. The RSV vaccine will now be added to the CDC's childhood immunization schedule once the agency's director signs off on it.
Our county by county segment takes us to Nash and Cumberland counties.
We will start in Nash County this noon, and as you see here, it is a new animal adoption center opening in Rocky Mount. Check it out. A ribbon cutting center took place for the Nash County Pet Connection Center. It's located near the continuing education building at Nash Community College. In a few weeks, the cats and dogs will move into this new facility where they'll be waiting to be adopted into their forever homes.
And the town of Spring Lake is helping students get ready to return to class. Their Pack the Cruiser supply drive kicks off today. Donations can be dropped off at the Spring Lake Police Department. That's over on Roof Street. You can stop by between 8:30 and 4:30 p.m. The supply drive runs until August 22nd. A special moment during a Taylor Swift concert that touched the hearts of fans and beyond. What the singer shared with Kobe Bryant's daughter while on stage.
Plus, we'll explain a major bill in Congress hoping to protect college athletes. The plans for oversight and regulations when athletes cash in on endorsement contracts.
It is summertime in North Carolina, and that means barbecue and live music.
Here's a look at your best bets from the WRL Out and About team. Enjoy a sampling of beer, bourbon, and barbecue at Booth Amphitheater in Cary this weekend. The annual festival kicks off today and continues tomorrow. Tickets are $42. You can also be the designated driver and eat all you want for $25 ticket at the door.
There are two chances to enjoy a family movie night this weekend. Head to Moore Square tonight for a free screening of The Princess and the Frog. And tomorrow night, Wake Forest will host a free outdoor screening of Spider-Man No Way Home at Joyner Park.
And if you want to enjoy some live music this weekend, Jason Mraz and his super band will play Red Hat Amphitheater tonight. And on Sunday, Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa, and Too Short bring their concert tour to Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek. Find out more about these events and many others. Just go to WRL.com and search Out and About.
Just another reason why people love Taylor Swift. The singer shared a tender moment with Bianca Bryant, daughter of the late NBA icon Kobe Bryant, during her performance at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Swift gifted her hat to the six-year-old during her performance of 22 and gave her a hug there. Vanessa Bryant shared this photo on Instagram of Swift and Bianca embracing on stage with the caption, "We love you, Taylor Swift." Vanessa also honored her husband, Kobe, and daughter, Gianna, with her outfit for the Taylor Swift concert. Her jean jacket featured a picture of Swift and Kobe on stage during her tour in 2015, and you can see the top of the jacket read, "Swifty." The Las Vegas police have dropped battery charges against Cardi B. Last Saturday, the rapper threw her microphone into the crowd. That was after a woman threw a drink on her. Someone at the concert filed a report saying she had been struck by an object from the stage. Police closed the case for insufficient evidence.
The PASS Act could put new rules on student athletes who profit from their name, image, and likeness. We'll dig into how the act would track NIL deals.
Plus, the sacrifices some Gen Z women say they're making just to pay for their dream wedding. Welcome back. A live look at North Hills in Raleigh. Gray and dreary Friday, but at least it won't be hot, only getting up into the upper 70s today. NFL season is here, and it is off to an exciting start. The NFL's preseason got started last night with the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. The Cleveland Browns beat the New York Jets 21-16. The Jets will now turn their attention to the Carolina Panthers. The teams will play at Bank of America Stadium next Saturday in the Panthers' preseason opener. The Women's World Cup is moving into the knockout stages. That means it's win or go home for the 16 remaining teams, including the U.S. The U.S. women will play Sweden in the round of 16 on Sunday morning. You can watch it live on Fox 50. It will be another early morning for soccer fans. Set your alarm. Kickoff for that game will be at 5 a.m.
A bipartisan bill is looking to create a national standard for name, image, and likeness rights in college athletics. The new bill would also mandate the creation of a national database of NIL contracts. Matt Napolitano explains how it could affect college athletes.
Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville and West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin introduce Protecting Athletes, Schools, and Sports, or the PASS Act. The goal of the bill, the creation of nationwide regulations to protect student athletes, maintain fair competition and compensation, and preserve college sports. After a ruling from the Supreme Court that allows college athletes to profit from their name, image, and likeness, or NIL, the NCAA asked for federal guidance to address concerns from schools about missing out on prospects because of the NIL opportunities afforded at different academies. The bill would require student athletes to complete 3 years of academic eligibility before they could transfer to a new school and immediately compete. Those student athletes would also have to disclose NIL deals to their schools, and the bill would require the Federal Trade Commission to establish a website with anonymous data about the deals. Student athletes have been taking advantage of NIL deals, from LSU gymnast Olivia Dunn's growing portfolio via her TikTok to Texas quarterback Arch Manning's first deal ahead of his freshman season, reaching an exclusive multi-year partnership with trading card company Panini.
That was Matt Napolitano reporting, and as part of Manning's announcement, his first Panini card went to auction, with 100% of the proceeds going to a Central Texas nonprofit.
Today is a great day to visit a national park. That's because entrance fees are waived today. It's to celebrate the third anniversary of the Great American Outdoors Act. Here in North Carolina, the Wright Brothers National Monument in Kill Devil Hills is the only national park site with an entrance fee. The fee waiver only applies to the cost of entry, not for any other fees like camping. Visitors who plan to be in the park after Friday must pay the regular entrance fee for the rest of their stay.
We only have one national park, right? So.
One national park site. You got to go to Kill Devil Hills, but you don't have to pay an entrance fee today.
Exactly. That's good. Hopefully it's not raining down there like it is here in a lot of parts. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center right now. Another look at radar.
Yeah. It's going to be nice and cool today. You know, typically if you're going to be cool, you have to head to the mountains, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. There is no entrance fee there, but there is a new parking fee. If you happen to go there, you may run into that. All right. Let's take a look at the radar. It looks very much like it looked the other couple of times that I showed it to you, but there are a couple of isolated showers that are starting to pop up across most of the viewing area. A little bit of that, say, around Sanford, back up towards Siler City, down towards Fayetteville, through much of Johnston and Wake counties. And definitely, as you head farther to the east, we'll take another look at Lewisburg, between Lewisburg and Spring Hope, over toward Castalia, and on up toward Warren County, and from Roanoke Rapids south and west down toward Enfield and over toward Rich Square, seeing those showers. Take another look at Lewisburg. We looked at Lewisburg at the beginning of the newscast, right at noon, and it was raining, and it is still raining there, even though it's not showing up on the radar necessarily right there in Lewisburg. We are seeing some heavy drizzle falling there. Lots and lots of rain well to our west. We have this front that's diving southward, and along this front, we're seeing some severe storms. We're unlikely to see a lot of thunderstorms. If we end up with thunderstorms today, it's going to be east of Raleigh. We're seeing some of that pushing to the coast with the potential for some thunderstorms, but for most of our viewing area, we're going to be in the stable part of this system. It will continue to sink southward. You can see future cast here at 2 o'clock from Southern Pines to Fayetteville to Goldsboro to Rocky Mount. We're seeing a few showers. Couldn't rule out an isolated shower from Raleigh over toward Durham. But at 5 o'clock, really, most of it looks like it's going to be along the I-95 corridor. And then gradually by 8 or 9 o'clock, pushing eastward, we'll begin to see a bit of clearing as we get to 11 o'clock midnight. But we'll likely see that filling in with clouds early Saturday morning. Saturday's looking pretty dry for us, about a 10% chance of a shower across the bulk of our viewing area. But it's a 50% chance a little closer to the coast for the next few days. Again, looking at 60% chance to today, a very little chance Saturday and Sunday, and a 30% chance on Monday. Monday's the day that it's going to be so hot for us. We take a live look at Fayetteville, starting to dry out a little bit there on Hay Street in front of our newsroom. Goldsboro a little breezy, Apex and Chapel Hill both looking a good bit drier now. Looking at a hotter day tomorrow and Sunday, 89 tomorrow, Sunday at 92. We'll see partly cloudy skies both days. If you're headed to the beaches, temperatures right along the beaches will be in the mid-80s. Looking at a better chance for thunderstorms tomorrow, it backs off from 50% Saturday to about 20 to 30% chance on Sunday, and there's a moderate rip current danger for it today. In the mountains, temperatures will be in the upper 80s both days in Asheville and around 80 degrees in Boone. We'll have a chance of scattered thunderstorms each day in the mountains. That's just pretty typical summer weather for folks there. 94 degrees is our high temperature for Monday, looking at the potential for triple-digit heat index. And then we're back to low 90s Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with a small chance for storms.
We knew the 90s would be back. It is August after all. Hasbro is banking on a mashup of two of its most popular board games. Why the company thinks blending Monopoly and Scrabble will result in a winning combination.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. There's a new report from the medical examiner that details the efforts to protect a Durham child from the bullets that killed her. Five-year-old Chloe Fennell was shot and killed last month. The report shows her cousin tried to protect her and saved an 18-month-old child by pushing her in a closet. The cousin was shot seven times and survived.
Local economists predict there is still a recession on the horizon. Economists with the UNC Kenan Institute reacted to the new jobs numbers released this morning. They say 187,000 jobs added in July is strong, but below expectations.
A tech company with its roots at NC State will cut the ribbon on its brand new headquarters today. Bandwidth is opening a 40-acre campus in Raleigh, north of I-40 off Edwards Mill Road. The communication software company has 750 employees in the Triangle who will be there today to celebrate. The official celebration happens at 3:30 this afternoon.
Wedding season is in full swing, and a recent survey reveals that it is more stressful than the holidays. Here's what a poll revealed. One in five women said they will pay for their wedding gifts and accommodations with money from their savings. More than half of Gen Z women would get a temporary job or side gig to afford attending a wedding due to cost. And when it comes to vacations, more than half of Gen Z women and 27% of millennial women are skipping a vacation this year due to the cost of being a wedding guest.
Music lovers, listen up. You could own a piece of history as hundreds of items from Queen's Freddie Mercury are about to hit the auction block. Hundreds of belongings from one of rock and roll's most iconic frontmen are going up for bids. Among the rare personal possessions are many of Mercury's costumes. Auctioneers say the real showstopper is a baby grand piano, which could go for nearly $4 million. The items will be divided and sold during six auctions in September. A group of German tourists is being accused of toppling a pricey Italian statue in a villa in northern Italy. The manager of the villa says a surveillance camera caught tourists posing for pictures in a fountain with that statue. A 150-year-old work of art fell to the ground after one of the people appeared to be pushing it over with a stick. The sculpture is worth almost $218,000. The villa has filed a complaint with local police. Two of the most popular tabletop games meshed this summer with the release of Monopoly Scrabble. Instead of using dice, players place Scrabble tiles to move around the board. Properties can be earned and purchased by making words on special Scrabble spaces. Just like Monopoly, players win by accumulating the highest total of cash and property value. Of course, this time, having a strong vocabulary may be an advantage to players looking for delightful fun.
That's the best of both worlds. Count me in. Our pet of the day is an independent lady who still likes a little love and affection. Lenora comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. She's a six-year-old spayed female short hair cat. Lenora is not necessarily the clingy type, but she won't turn down some head rubs or compliments on her beautiful fur patterns. She appears to get along with all humans. We don't know for sure how she feels about other dogs, but a trial adoption could answer that question. You can contact SPCAWake.org for more information about Laura.
And if you want to find some pets' new homes, today on our News at 4, we'll check in with the Wake County SPCA with the Clear the Shelters campaign in full swing. Why now is the best time to add a new member to your family.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.